Now live from Dick's Wings on the North Side, Compton and Company, brought to you by United Rentals on 1010XL. Here's your host, Ron Compton.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Compton and Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings, as you heard, on the North Side, at the intersection of New Berlin and Yellow Bluff Road. Come say hello to us. After a week off, we were off last week. I was in a wedding, Chuck, last week.
In a wedding or at a wedding?
I was in a wedding. The groom's been in a wedding. It was fun. It was fun.
So it was a friend years around your age?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Guy I work with.
A dummy's getting married again? Or first time?
His second time. He's 36 or 37.
These people never learn.
People just don't learn, Chuck. Well, Chuck, you can't really speak to that because you've never been married.
That means I've learned.
Never been married. So we're back. Come hang out with us. A full day of college football in store
Maybe.
For us today. Maybe. One game's already
never
been canceled.
Never a week to week. It's always a week to week.
That is true. But we've got some games that have moved around. A game that's moved around as far as from a network standpoint. But a lot going on. A whole lot going on. Really, the big game today, though, is we'll see just how real, if they're real at all, the Indiana Hoosiers are, as they go to the horseshoe and they take on Ohio State as they try to get to 5-0 for the third time in Indiana University football history. The other two times, Chuck, 1910 and 1967. Those are the other two times that Indiana's made it to 5-0, and that's what they're trying to do as they kick off at noon. Florida travels that 11 a.m. slot, Chuck.
Right.
Central time zone as they travel to Nashville and take on the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Line 31, all the tradition of the years, Vanderbilt's giving Florida fits sometimes.
This is 2 years ago, I think.
It's a different deal, man. Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago, was it Vandy 24-3, I believe? Either
24-3 wasn't there like a fight right before halftime, a la Missouri game a few weeks ago, and then Florida turned it on second half?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Of course, I think Vanderbilt gave Florida a tough time, the first thing I think of, 1996, remember, 28-21.
Oh, yeah. I remember it well.
That was a nail-biter.
I remember it well. But you're right. Historically, Vandy's always been a thorn in the sides of the Gators, and let's hope this is a different year. Look, again, Florida favored by
30. Helmet. I like the white helmet.
Oh, yeah, no, they're all white. The little throwback helmet, yep.
What game was it? Was it the Missouri game they wore the blue uniform? The old throwbacks from the 70s,
yes. 80s?
Yes. I
like
love those uniforms. I wish they'd go to those regularly.
I enjoyed
the stripes on the sleeves and,
as well. But you know, it's all about those. It's all about the high school kids and the college kids. As far as they all like these different looks. That's why you see all these different the variation of uniforms, whether it's the traditional throwback or what you see today. They love different looks. They call them clean, Chuck.
Well, I like
they call them clean looks, Chuck.
I don't.
You've never heard that term before,
clean.
Have you? Clean.
They call them clean.
They call them clean. I bet you. I bet you our producer, R.J. Saunders, knows about that, right, R.J.? They just look clean, right,
I don't
RJ?
Mind the throwback to the old, but I just hate these just out-of-the-box crazy, like, okay, black is not our color, but yet we're going to wear black this week. Or, you know, I think of Maryland has some god-awful gaudy uniforms through the last year.
I hear you.
Throwbacks are fine. Just this, you know, gaudiness is ridiculous. And by the way, you don't need to do throwbacks? Alabama. They don't need to do throwbacks. So.
But that's the point you'll see Bama have throwbacks.
Saban leaves and they go 8-4, they might need to do some throwbacks. But right now, though.
No. You do know that the Vandy probably will score a few points today. You know they will. They've got the ball now at midfield. But you know what? It's Vandy too. Look, I think Florida should wear them out. They're again 31.5-point favorite. But Vandy, after their first three games, the year averaged 9 points a game. They've averaged 24 points a game over the last three, so they've been scoring a little more. So expect Vandy to probably move the ball a little, and then the Florida defense will settle in a little bit, and hopefully hopefully make plays. So obviously Vandy, Florida, they kicked off as has now Ohio State and Indiana. How about Coastal Carolina at 7-0? And only their fourth year.
Well, Liberty.
Well, I know that, but Coastal Carolina's a bigger story. Look, this is their fourth year in Division I football. Fourth year.
What in the Sun Belt? What conference?
I have no idea. Whatever happened to the last state then? They're
Sun
in
Belt.
That conference.
Sun Belt.
Okay. But yeah, this is their fourth year in Division I football. So yeah, and of course the Liberty and Hugh Freeze, and both Chuck. Of those two coaches, obviously, will probably parlay those jobs into bigger gigs in South Carolina, being one of them, that there's a vacancy as, you know, Vandy just driving on down the field. But Jamie Chadwell, the coach of Coastal Carolina, he took over when the head coach 2 years ago, had some health reasons, he came in as the interim coach. It's the second full season, and has things rolling in Coastal Carolina. Remember Coastal Carolina 3 or 4 years ago? Where they hit the big stage, not in football, what sport was it?
Baseball.
Yeah. College World Series champions, right? Didn't they win it?
Yeah. They won the whole thing.
They beat, I'm trying to think who they beat. It wasn't
Georgia.
It was like maybe was Oregon State, somebody like that.
But yeah. Yeah, I remember winning it like 4 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago.
And Vandy, by the way, already down at the Florida 30-yard line. But look, we've got some things we're going to talk about today, Chuck. Look, we haven't been on the air. Obviously, we missed last week, so we didn't obviously talk much at all about the Florida-Georgia game 2 weeks ago. Florida laid it to them. You know, Georgia had serious issues at the quarterback position. They're going to the new era today. JT Daniels gets his first start tonight for Georgia as they take on Mississippi State at 7:30 on ESPN. As Vandy's now in the red zone. I mean, they're just right down the field. I'm not going to freak out here. But while we're in the red zone, I mean, they just boom, 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 only one third down play, and now the Florida defense made a little play there. But we'll talk about what makes Dan Mullen just so good in terms of a play calling ability. I told you, I've said all year long that he's, if not the best, one of the top two or three play callers in all of college football. And what he's doing now as a head coach in terms of what he's done in Gainesville. But think about his record along is the same as Steve Spurrier and Dan Mullen, who were, I think, the first 34 games and Gator history, I believe. Same record.
Better than Urban Meyer, or
all the same.
Okay,
all the same. It's let me give you this number here, Chuck. All three coaches are 26-6 through their first 32 games in their college coaching careers at the University of Florida. And that is the flag touchdown, Vandy. See what the flag's all about. Wow.
Look at the flag.
On a 3rd-and-11 or 3rd-and-12.
Wow.
Anyway, but yeah, the 26-6 are all three coaches. Flags against defense, touchdown Vanderbilt.
Wow.
That's quick. That's quick, Chuck.
Wow.
That was quick. I guess the Gator defensive players a little hungover from whatever they did last night, because, man, oh, man, that was quick.
Only because I can't think of the first six without thinking, but can you tell – can you give me the first three Spurrier losses at Florida? I could probably think of the 4, 5, and 6 if I had to think about it for a minute. But
the first two are very easy,
right?
You know the first two, right?
Yeah,
the first two, obviously Tennessee, Florida State,
right?
And I'm going to get in 19. Those are 1990. Oh, and then 90. Oh boy, man, see, and the other was a 91,
right?
The other was a 91. That would have been Auburn?
I think it was Kirby Dar Syracuse.
Oh, gosh, it was. That's exactly.
Didn't he return open to kickoff for a touchdown?
Yes. Number 41, Kirby Dar. Gosh. Syracuse. Gosh, yes. I forgot about that game.
And then it might have been. They only lost one game in 91. If they only lost one game in 91 regular season, it would have been Notre Dame in the 92 Sugar Bowl.
That was fourth loss.
That is correct.
Because they beat FSU 14-9.
And then the next two losses would
have 92 was kind of a down year.
Tennessee, Mississippi State.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they beat Georgia. Okay, yeah.
Well, I just found an interesting article on Steve Spurrier. He says the one game he just can't get over from his coaching career while he was down in Gainesville is the 2001 game against Tennessee.
Tennessee, oh yeah,
oh yeah,
absolutely. That was the night. It was the original game was scheduled the week of 9/11. Then that happened, obviously, and they moved all the games, rightfully so.
It was Travis Stevens.
It was Travis Stevens. Yeah, it was Travis Stevens of 200 some odd yards. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I remember it well. And that is the one that gets after Spurrier, because Steve Spurrier would tell you that Florida football team is the best team he had his entire career at Florida.
That's the
Rose Bowl. That is the one game that you're right, RJ. I've heard him mention that before, and the best. He's said before that's the best team he's ever had as a coach.
Well, I think
in Gainesville.
I think from a coaching standpoint, although it didn't mean anything, that 92 Sugar Bowl bothered me because they were leading halftime. They just wouldn't make any adjustments and just got worn out in the second half by Jerome Bettis. You know, I mean, that's one game I wanted to win, beat Notre Dame, but they just threw that game away in the second half.
Well, you remember what happened in that game, Chuck? That was on Spurrier.
He wouldn't make any adjustments, correct?
That's correct. I mean, because Notre Dame was giving them everything underneath, and he kept taking shots down the field, kept calling for shots, and it was Bettis, and who was the other running back for Notre Dame?
Do you know it?
Yeah,
oh, no. Okay, I thought maybe you were quizzing.
No, I will come up with it in a minute. Yeah, I'll come up with
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
He played the NFL as well, the other running back. Bettis. Yeah. Gosh. And by the way, Ohio State with a quick touchdown over Indiana.
It's on the basketball.
Well, not quite yet. Not quite on the basketball. I've got my buddy Brad Denny just sent me a text. Hey, part of the family, one of our outstanding sponsors, Barber & Associates, any commercial roofing project you have called Barber & Associates, and he's a big FSU fan, so I've got to take a dig at FSU. Chuck, you sent a great text message this morning, and it was a clip of Roddy Dangerfield, Caddyshack, when he's supposed to, he's going to have a bet with, what's the guy's name?
Ted McKnight.
Judge Smells. And Roddy Dangerfield hit his ball. Oh, my arm.
It's broken. So,
Mary,
they went like, rule book, okay, you can substitute. So he brought in old Danny Noonan.
That's the dad. That is this morning by 8 a.m. FSU. We can't play. We can't come to an agreement with Clemson. We don't want to play. No moss.
Oh, now
no
they're
moss.
Saying they're playing December, maybe 12th.
December 12th. Yeah, both teams haven't opened at the 12th.
But,
yeah.
But
everybody should be a lot better by then. We know that, right?
But Clemson, I mean, I'm sure they won that off week for the ACC championship game, and they've got to win the game, so they're probably not very happy right now.
I'm sure they're not.
So hopefully it worked out for the good that Dabo will be really ticked and just really put it on them in the rematch.
Yeah. Hey, my buddy Brad did send me a text message. Part of the text message was Florida better find a defense in a few weeks. He's right. I don't know that they'll be able to find a defense in the next few weeks. It baffles me a bit that they continue to get shredded the way they do now by a Vanderbilt.
That's not Brad's Michigan fan.
No.
Now, your buddy Brad, Michigan fan, even talked to him, they need to go find a coach.
Have you talked to him lately? I haven't.
I love what he's thinking about the state of Michigan football.
That's another vacancy that's upcoming. But when we come back, we're going to break here. When we come back, my buddy Brad did say that, you know, better find a defense in a few weeks. And you know what? I want to talk about Kyle Trask and his story. And also, Mac Jones. It's not as if Mac Jones rolled into Alabama as highly sought after quarterback that everybody wanted. Not at all. People may not know this, but he came in the same recruiting class as Tua Tagovailoa. They came in together. One was a 5-star, the other was a 3-star. One everybody wanted, the other a few guys wanted, and here we go. So we'll touch on both Mac Jones as well as Kyle Trask. I'll give you some score updates when we come back right here from Dick Swings on the North Side on 1010XL.
This is Compton and Company on 1010XL.
And welcome back to Compton and Company, coming to you from Dick Springs, the north side, the intersection of Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Road. Come hang out with us. Today it's Bud and Bud Light Buckets for $12. Also, Bottomless Mimosas and Bloody Marys for $15. Come hang out with us, watch a little college ball. Look, specials all throughout the course of the week here. Mondays, traditional wings, 5 until a close, 75 cents a wing. We're here Saturdays. Obviously, there's happy hours, 11 to 7. It's the best happy hour in Jacksonville, Sunday through Friday. All sorts of drink specials, well drinks, obviously shots, fireball shots, which is Chuck's favorite, you name it. It's all here, live music on Friday nights as well, here at Dick's Wing. Oh, and I was here. I finally made it to a night of flip coin.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, flip coin. You roll it on a Wednesday night between 7 and 9 o'clock. You say heads or tails. If you're right, your drink's free, and that's for 2 solid hours. So I was here 2 Wednesdays ago and enjoyed a little flip coin. It's fun. And that's what's cool about, you know, living a mile and a half away. Son's driving. Hey, son, come pick dad up. Hey, drop me off. Come pick me up. Worked out good. Fun night.
Did you flip?
I did flip. Well,
how did it turn out, I should say? What was it?
I had, I think, 7 drinks, and 3 were free. That's pretty good.
7 drinks?
7 drinks, yeah. So 7 Michelob Ultras are like drinking 3 bottles of water and, yeah, nothing.
Oh, I think drinks, I thought you meant like, you know, big strings.
No. I don't do that during the week, man, because you have to, you know, get up next day and go to work. Yeah. But anyway, so we're at Dick's Wings. Come hang out with us Saturday for college ball, Sunday for NFL football. Florida just tied it up. During the break, that's how quickly the demo and offense can strike. It was 7-0. Vanny had yet to kick the ball off to Florida. We go to a break. We come back. Now, Florida's kicking the ball off at 7-7. Florida can score in a hurry. We just have to find a way to string a few defensive plays together in Gainesville. Remind folks, at 1 o'clock, Brent Bibber will join us and bring you the College Weekly Notebook as we bounce around the world of collegiate football. Ohio State up early 7-0 over Indiana. And Indiana's having to punt back to the future Jaguar quarterback Justin Fields and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Speaking of which, you've seen the movie White Men Can't Jump? No, you haven't.
We talked about that.
That's right. So there's a part of the movie where Woody Harrelson says, and he quotes Rosie Perez, who played his girlfriend, says, hey, sometimes when you win, you lose. Sometimes you lose and you win. Well, that would have been Sunday had Jake Luton found a way to outduel Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. And had the Jacksonville Jaguars won that game, they would have won, but they would have really lost. Okay, that would have been terrible. That would have been so bad. That would have been so very bad for the Jaguars with that game.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying. I mean, you got to finish top three. And the problem is the Jets.
You got to finish top two.
The Jets
not
gave,
top three.
Well, yeah, top two.
There's only two.
The problem is the Jets gave one away, 2 weeks ago in New England.
They did.
And they play who they play tomorrow? The Chargers, I believe. I think, yeah. They play at L.A., 9.5-point dogs. But you look at that schedule. I mean, do you see more than one win on there? And I think if they both finish 1-15, I believe the Jets would get it because they play a tougher schedule than the Jets. Or no, the Jags play a – I'm not sure how it would work, but I think the Jets beat number one. I don't know. But
I mean, I would assume the team with the tougher schedule would pick second, the team with the easiest.
Right, because they're saying, you played an easier schedule.
Yeah.
So I think – let me back that. I think the Jags have the tougher
Jaguars
schedule.
Jaguars future first-round quarterback is still interception.
I think the Jags have a tougher schedule. And speaking of that real quick, we're jumping around.
You hear me? Justin Fields just threw a pick.
Yeah, what do you – now, do you give any credence to – well – you know, Dwayne Haskins was picked a couple years ago. He's been a bust. And there hasn't been a good NFL quarterback from Ohio State in
I don't buy
forever.
That.
I
think they're all standalone.
Okay.
That's what
people
I know. I know people will say that, and they'll talk about system quarterbacks and certain positional players from certain schools.
Any chance
just don't quite pan out.
And any chance that any people are, you know, they said Kyle Trask is looking Joe Burrow like. So any chance that Kyle Trask jumps up there, maybe he's your second quarterback
pick. No,
okay.
No. Well, here's why I say that. This is what I, you know, I said we touch on the Kyle Trask, Mac Jones comparison and their stories. I don't think so. Is it?
I guess is it possible?
Sure, anything's possible. But this is what I would say.
About that,
guys it? Get hot. They zoom up that draft board.
No. I get it. No,
Baker,
I get it. Look,
Kyler Murray,
I get it. Look, Baker,
Joe Burrow.
No, Chuck, I get it. Look, Baker Mayfield, going into his last year at Oklahoma, was considered a fifth or a sixth round undrafted free agent type of a guy. Even though he was a Heisman candidate, he was not thought of as a first round pick at all, and then as the season progressed, he continued to move up boards and those things. And so, could it happen? Could he get to number three? Because right now,
definitely.
Right now though, he's considered sixth or seventh.
Well,
he's not even considered. Hey, look, the BYU quarterback is projected to go higher as that Zach Wilson kid, right? And obviously the kid from you said Dakota. Sure, things can change, but the knock on Kyle Trask is this: there's just one knock. It's his arm strength. Okay, he's got just barely better than Danny Warfel arm strength, a little better. But the difference is his awareness. Okay, I've always talked about the three A's as a quarterback: accuracy, awareness, and anticipation. And he's great at all three of those. I mean, he's as good as they get at all of those. He's deadly accurate. His ball placement is unbelievable. Okay, so when I say unbelievable, for a guy that was a two-star quarterback that never started in high school and then didn't start it in Gainesville until Felipe Franks went down with the injury, right? He was projected to start the previous year after the flop in the home game against Missouri, but then he got hurt in the fluke trick play in practice, which obviously ended his season, and Felipe Franks kept his job, and then obviously finished the season off the following week against South Carolina, and they won out the rest of the season. But Kyle Trask, his accuracy is great. He anticipates wonderfully. I mean, he anticipates so well, and his awareness in the pocket. His eyes are down the field. He feels the pressure when it's there. He can slide it in and out of the pocket. So yeah, he's all that stuff's great. The one flaw, and he gets rid of the ball well. The one knock is just his lack of arm strength. Again, to me, it's just a little better than what Danny Warfel was. The ball kind of floats at times. And is he a first round quarterback? I don't know. But we'll see. But the story though, I mean, when you think about the perseverance. When you think about a guy that was a two-star quarterback, his offers out of high school were like Houston Baptist, McNeese State, and Florida. Those were his offers.
But how did Florida get in there?
Well, they were at a Elite 11 camp, and they were there looking at other players. And Doug Nussmeier is the one that seen Kyle Trask and told Jim McElwain, we need to offer this guy. And the next week, he was given an offer.
Now, if you say, to me that story makes sense if he had just outstanding arm strength, but if he doesn't, what was his selling point? Hey, look at this guy. He hadn't started high school, but let's give him an offer.
You know, he was behind in high school, right?
Was it? Hold on, it's an NFL quarterback.
No. It's the guy who's playing college right now. De'Ara King. He was behind the Miami quarterback.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Behind De'Ara King. Look. I'm sure when they go out there, they see it. Look, it's not like his arm is a pop gun.
Oh, I know that.
Okay,
but it has to be something spectacular.
The other three things I just said: the accuracy, the anticipation, and the awareness. The three biggest things are those three A's when it comes to a quarterback analysis, analyzing a quarterback: accuracy, which is huge. Anticipation and awareness. Those are the big three, and he's great at all three of them. He's great at all three of them. I think he's going to be a 12-year NFL quarterback.
12 years.
10 or 12 years. I think he's been in the league a long time. Shane Matthews in the league a long time.
Now, are you talking like starter or like Chase Daniel 12 years?
We'll see. I don't know.
Chase Daniel's been around a long time, made a lot of money.
He'll be drafted. He'll cash a lot of checks. And he will certainly have an opportunity to start the National Football League. But his size, everything's there for the arm strength. I think if he goes to the combine and they start looking at the arm and, you know, it's not like you can develop a lot of arm strength at this age.
Yeah, that's okay. You can't work out and develop
that's
arm strength.
Just to give you an analogy here, when you're a high school pitcher, okay, when you're a kid, you're pitching, and the goal is if you're considered a prospect at the next level, is they would like you to pick up between the ages, say 14 and 18, maybe pick up 2, maybe 3 miles an hour a year, as far from an age standpoint as you progress. But once you get to, 18, 19 years old, that's it. What you've got, your arm strength is your arm strength. That's what you got. What you got, and it's sort of the same. It's not like all of a sudden Kyle Trask is going to have a bazooka attached to his shoulder. He's not. Look, he's that guy that has to get everything that lower half involved to make those deep out throws. But we'll see. But no, I think he obviously has a chance, I think, to maybe rise up and become the third quarterback taken. No, now it's Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Since we were kind of talking draft before we got into Kyle Trask, I think Jacksonville keeps playing the way they've been, they're gonna mess around and win a few games because they play pretty. So at least my question: what would the Cowboys do if they were second in the draft? What would they do?
Woo, boy!
Because they're third right now, right?
Yeah.
They're in that ballpark. What would they do? Would they move on? Would they move on from Prescott? Say hello.
I don't know that they would do that. They would franchise him next year and see, and then the guy they drafted, they let him come in and
or take offers. Yeah, you could get a pretty good load for that second.
Sure, you could. But I don't think the Cowboys will be there. I think
they're going to win four games.
Yeah, they'll win. Yeah, that's what they'll do. They may win five. Who knows? I mean, when you look at the schedules in the NFC East, it's crazy that I got a question for you. There's 32 teams, obviously, in the NFL. How many teams right now through 9/10 weeks? There's been 10 weeks, but a few teams haven't had their buys yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
10 weeks. How many teams in the league do you think have 3 or fewer wins?
I'm just going to throw out 9.
12.
Oh.
Think about how
competitive at the bottom.
Think about that. There's 12 teams in the NFL that have three wins or fewer.
Yeah, they were doing.
And all four teams, obviously, in the NFC least, as I call the division of champions. Again, the only division in NFL football that all four teams won a Super Bowl. Division of champions.
Not this year.
But not this year.
They were doing a scenario where the division winner in the NFC East could actually could win four games.
Sure.
Yeah, I would love for the four 11-1 Philadelphia to win the division.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously they had to lose. Every team would have to lose all their out of division games, and they keep splitting amongst themselves, pretty much like 50-50.
And before we break here, it's 10-7 Vandy.
You can't have
the team
get hot like Philly get hot and roll off with four wins in a row.
The 10-7 Vandy, Florida, they kick off to Florida. Maybe by the time when we break, they come back. Florida scored again, but. We talked a bit about Trask and his perseverance, right? Think about that. So Kyle Trask was noticed at a camp that the Florida coaching staff was there to see somebody else. And they said, Doug Nussmeier says, oh, wow, that Trask guy, let's offer him. So he's offered. And, again, he didn't start a game in high school, sat behind Derek
King.
Which
is amazing.
Goes to Florida. And but it was the way it's amazing he ended up, but not really, because again they go and they took a chance on him as a prospect. They looked at him as a guy, when the New England Patriots drafted Tom Brady, they didn't draft Tom Brady expecting him to be the best quarterback in NFL history. They drafted him as a prospect. Okay, this is a guy that we see has certain tools. We're going to bring him in because his arm strength isn't great either. What he has is anticipation, awareness, okay, all those things. That's what he has in accuracy. So they drafted him as just a project. So a 6th or 7th round NFL draft pick is the same thing as a 2-star recruit. You bring him in, yeah, you know, we don't expect him to play right away, but maybe, you know, we see some skills, a skill set that may be conducive to playing, you know, at a high level. And it's the same thing. So, yeah, it's crazy that he got there. Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten there unless if it weren't up for that camp. Yeah, they wouldn't have gone to whatever high school they played for in Texas and said, you know what, that guy holds that clipboard real well. You know, oh, he came in through three passes in the fourth quarter, handed the ball off real well. No, they wouldn't see that, but at a camp they would see it, and then that's how it happened.
Yeah, of course, the Patriots drafted him as a prospect, but you know what he did? He started at Michigan. He played a bunch of games at a big-time school. You know what Kyle Trask didn't do? He didn't play high school. And what's amazing
is true.
Now, here's what's amazing is what happens in high school a lot. Kids move around. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked that he stayed there. You think he'd have gone to some other program?
That's a huge data boy to him. When a guy that could have moved around in high school, he didn't do it. He could have certainly attempted to transfer from Florida. He didn't do it. He was a grad transfer. Could have played right away. But the only knock against him would have been, well, we really haven't seen him do anything yet. He was a 2-star guy that nobody wanted. He goes to Florida with 3 offers out of college, and it was McNeese State, Houston Baptist, and Florida. So, really, you know, maybe he wouldn't have gotten a big-time offer to come in and start anyway because he hadn't shown anything yet. But here he is. I mean, he stayed with it.
Now he was
and now he's a potential Heisman Trophy Award winner.
Was he offered a scholarship right off the bat?
Florida? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To me, much more amazing than drafting Tom Brady in the 6th round. We're not talking Miami Ohio here. We're talking Florida.
I get it, one of the most amazing stories ever. Look, I get it, but at the time, Florida football was kind of in the dumps, too. They go out again.
I don't care.
Chuck, look.
I
get what you're trying to say here, but what I'm telling you is this. It's not as if Florida went to this football camp to go take a look at this Kyle Trask kid. They were there at a camp to scout people. Now, look, I told my son for years when he played high school baseball, I said, look, you either want to be one of two things. You want to be the guy that they're all looking at when they come to these games or they come to these camps, right? Or you want to be at a camp that everyone's there to see this particular person or playing in a game, they're all there to scout this particular player. So that's your opportunity, Chad. That's what you're missing. You don't because you haven't. You've never been around that stuff. So here's what you have, man. Seriously, this is what you have. Is again, you either want to be the guy they're scouting, or be a part of the event that the scouts are going to be at while they're scouting that guy because you may get noticed. I said you may have the game of your life. You may have the camp of your life. And then that's all it takes. I'm here to look at that guy. But look at that guy.
Look, and I know we got a break, and I'll say one more time, and then we'll end the discussion. At Florida, these scholarships are not unlimited. They're kind of precious. They are looking at so many players. I don't give a – he could look like Scott Bakula and necessarily rough this. And if he has a plane, you're not going to give him no offer of a scholarship. I still think it's an amazing story.
You know what?
I don't care what he looked like.
You know what?
I don't care if he threw it 500 yards.
Chuck, you sound like a –
You're trying to validate it. Like, look, you know, I'm not going to say that lucky
okay.
injury.
All right, I'll end it with this as we break. As your rant's over, I'll end up with this. I'm usually the one ranting, but today you're ranting for no good reason. Listen, what I'll say is this. I'll ask you this rhetorical question. What's the most important position in all of football? The quarterback position.
Quarterback.
All right. So we've always joked in the past and said, you know what, if I'm an NFL team, I may draft one every year, whether it's a first-round guy, a fourth-round guy, a sixth-round guy. Every year,
I may
take one. Same damn thing. I can promise you this, Chuck. That year they gave Kyle Trask an offer as this 2-star quarterback. It wasn't like they had a bunch of damn 5-stars lined up wanting to come to Florida and play for Coach freaking McButters. Okay, they didn't have that. They didn't have that year. They had a bunch of just average guys. Okay, so therefore, you know what? We got to take a quarterback. Every recruiting cycle, you take one to two quarterbacks every single recruiting cycle. Again, had they had these 4- and 5-star guys chomping at the bit to come play in Gainesville for Doug Nussmeier, Jim McElwain, you know what? They probably wouldn't have offered Kyle Trask. But because they didn't have any of that going on in Gainesville at the time, and they see maybe what appears to be maybe a little bit of promise from this kid, you know what, we're going to offer somebody, you get it.
Yeah, well, Nussmeier, he did something totally stupid, but it worked out. They didn't have four or five stars, but you know what, they probably had a lot of three stars that had started 40 high school games or chomping at the bit to go to Florida.
They got Kyle Trask, it's worked out. All right, we're going to step aside for a break and come back, talk more sports with you. Next, we'll talk about these college coaches and these buyouts. Chuck's favorite topic. Next, Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010 XL.
And Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back to Dick's Wings, the north side. I just had a little gift given to me. Yeah. Beautiful young lady walked up, and she won something out of a machine game. I had me a new girl over there, JC. JC brought, that's my buddy Jimmy, his daughter, the big soccer game day on the winning side of things, 2-1. He brought me a stuffed animal over, Chuck. How about that?
Pretty nice.
She's all, Mr. Ron, that's for you. She's so sweet. But, yep, she did. She brought me a stuffed animal, and I've got him sitting right there. Look, right there. Here's my stuffed animal.
I'll ask you in a month, okay? Do you still have that animal?
Of course I will.
Okay,
JC gave me this animal. You think I'm not going to keep it? Of course I'm going to keep it.
That's like you always wonder just stuff, and this is the first thing that comes to mind. Remember when Florida won the National Championship 96, they got invited to the White House. They gave Clinton a Gator jersey. I wonder if he still has that Gator jersey. What do presidents do, you know, when they get those jerseys?
Hey, so you got a closet somewhere?
Speaking of which, and I'm going to, you always like when this happens, and we're going to get back to this coaching buyouts in a minute.
Jumping around?
As we broadcast here at Dick's Wings of the North Side. Come hang out with us football Saturday, football Sunday, you name it. All things happening here at Dick's Wings. Also, they have a location in Lakewood at San Jose.
Yeah, I've been to that. We used to do tribute
and university. Yep. So you mentioned Bill Clinton. He's gotten so many of these jerseys, right? So many of those jerseys. So does he have any of them? Maybe, maybe not. That's like the old joke. We used to talk about FSU at ACC championships. They use them as doorstops.
Right.
They didn't really matter. They'd matter right now. They Florida State, wouldn't they?
Yep.
If FSU won one now, it'd matter. Who would ever thought? FSU, Florida State University, the Seminoles, just 6 years ago, they were in the midst of a 29-game winning streak. Now, they're going to win two games this year. They might get to three.
They might be Duke.
They might get to three. Maybe.
Might be Duke.
But right now, Duke's favored. Duke's favored in the game. Okay, by 4.5.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yep, Duke's favored. So let that sink in for a moment.
But as a Gator never say you feel sorry.
Nope, I don't.
Say you hope they're down and stay down forever.
I hope they stay down forever. That's right.
I want that Gator to get back where it was.
But just think about that. I mean, it just shows you how quickly things can change. Like right now, okay, Florida's down 10-7 right now to Vandy. Vandy had the ball, too, by the way, and driving. But look, Florida just 4 or 5 years ago could not get out of their own way.
Right.
Between from Muschamp and the McElwain, it was the dark ages of Florida football, and during that time, FSU was riding high again. They were in the midst of a 29-game winning streak, and now here they are. And Florida State now, you talk to the majority of their fans on these message boards, they're hoping that they might be able to win four games next year. Let that sink in. Florida State, they're hoping that they might get to 4 or 5 wins next year, and they realize now this is a 4 or 5 year deal. This is nothing that can happen overnight. Because the problem with their program right now is I think Mike Norvell is a pretty good coach, but he did not hire a staff that's familiar with recruiting the state of Florida at a high level, meaning, they were on his staff at Memphis. But they weren't recruiting against the Alabamas, the Floridas, the Georgia LSUs of the world for these 4 or 5 star players. So they don't have guys on that staff other than Ron Dugas and Odell Higgins, who they're both trying to purge out of the system after this year.
They are?
Yeah, they want to get rid of both of them. They have expiring contracts. They don't want them back in Tallahassee, neither one of them.
I think I'd bring them back.
They don't want them back. They don't want them back. They want to go with younger guys, fresher guys. That's what they want.
Okay.
Okay, so the chances are they won't be back. So then
Chuck, you'll have nobody on that staff that's familiar with recruiting the state of Florida at a high level for high-level players. So it's one hell of a rebuild is what I can say. What they need is they've got to find a quarterback. Chuba Purdy, they thought was the guy, and, of course, now he's out for the rest of the year. And right now, it is a big deal because this year is sort of, as they say, a free year, right? It's a free year for all players, all the guys that can come back next year. They don't count against the number. So the seniors that can come back, it doesn't count against the 85.
But that count against scholarships?
No.
Okay, so they still give out 25 scholarships.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
One thing I was
and
wondering.
So instead of 85, you can have 110 guys or whatever the number is. Say there's 7 or 8 guys that would have graduated that stayed, whatever.
They're still on scholarships.
Still
on
scholarships, yep.
Year.
The problem, though, in Tallahassee, they don't have any money. They had to buy out Willie Taggart. They had to buy the rest of his deal at Oregon. And then buy them out when they got rid of them here. It cost, as we segue our buyout, it cost Florida State $28 million for Willie Taggart. Between what they had to pay Oregon to get him and what they had to pay him to send him away. Think about that, $28 million.
Well, I go back to, I don't know if he'd have worked out, but they gave up on him after a season and a half. A season and a half, you know, that they... Not that I was a Willie Taggart fan, but I think if your administration has gone out and identified, look, this is our guy, don't you have to give him longer than a season and a half?
Well, this is where they messed up, in my opinion. Everyone, I mean, look, man, everyone within the FSU administration, they all thought that was a home run hire. Everybody. It wasn't like you had a couple guys maybe not. No, they all were in love with Willie Taggart. They all loved him. They all loved him. If everyone is on board with a hire, that's correct. After a year and a half, you've all admitted we were all so wrong? That should never be, man. I mean, you have to stay the course at least the rest of that season and maybe a third year just to see because, FSU had a very scathing article about the fall of Florida State football this past week. And I read every bit of it.
Really? I want to read it still.
To me, it was like...
Did it start with Jimbo Fisher? The fall?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It talked about Jimbo and how Jimbo... They said, Jimbo cried. They said Jimbo cried his last day when he walked out to his truck to pack his bag. Because Jimbo didn't want to leave. Jimbo did not want to leave.
That's crazy because we were under the impression Jimbo, for the last 5 years there, had been trying to find a job, every year trying to find another job.
Well, now what he did do, though, is he was, as a lot of them do, just like the old NFL teams, old NFL football teams would go, well, Jackson was always the city they'd always come talk to just to leverage, their city out of a better deal, right? That's what Jimbo would do. It wasn't always to get more money for himself. It was to improve facilities. It was to get a better assistant coaching staff package for his guys. That's what it was all about. He would flirt with other universities to get a better deal for himself, his coaches, and then to get money for facilities. And I really believe...
Why did he leave?
Because they wouldn't give him anything. They wouldn't give him his standalone facility for football team. They didn't want to give him that.
He got 10 years, $75 million. Instead of crying, he should have been happy. He should have been crying with happiness instead of crying if he's
well,
really. He broke the bank. He should be happy.
Sure, I'm sure he's
crying.
Happy now. I'm sure he's happy. But
hell
look,
yeah.
No. But when he left, if you read the article and they talked to a lot of former players, boosters, folks within inside the administration. They said he wanted to be the next Bobby Bowden. He wanted to stay at Florida State forever and be that guy. But he didn't get the backing from the program, right? They were wanting to go in a different direction, spread almost like a Jeremy Foley deal. Let's not commit everything to the moneymaker. Let's see if we can make all these other sports better. They didn't want to give him the money. And FSU, they don't have a bunch of old money. They don't have the big money boosters. They don't have it. And it hurts. So therefore, they wouldn't give his they wouldn't give him a more of a pool for his assistant coaches. They wouldn't commit the money, the boosters wouldn't, to the standalone football facility. And you know what? He finally had enough. He was out. And what's funny to me is when he left, man, all the FSU fans, they're all excited.
Yeah.
Good riddance, good riddance, good riddance. And then here's where they are. If they would have just given him, and with all the money they had to give Taggart and the buyout to get him out of Oregon and then have him leave FSU, if you take all that money and you find a way to distribute it amongst the Jimbo Fisher regime in Tallahassee, they'd still be on top. They'd be FSU and Clemson neck and neck every year, but instead, you know, they're mired in not even mediocrity. They're mired in just
terrible
football play.
By what they've done in recent history, a la firing Willie Taggart, let's say FSU goes 3-8 this year, and let's not even go into halfway. Let's go all the way next year. Let's say they're 4-8. By that theory, you got to fire Norvell, right? I mean, because you did.
Well,
you
they can't.
Well,
but they can't. They can't. They have no money. And now I think they realize, you know, sometimes you look back and say, man, what were we thinking? We really botched this. I think they botched
Jimbo Fisher and they botched Willie Taggart.
They botched. Yeah, they botched the last 6 or 7 years. They botched it all. And you know what I think it is? I think it's karma. Karma's a you know what? Okay, it's
a witch.
It's a witch. Okay, it's they're getting theirs. They're getting theirs after the treatment. Look, we know Jameis Winston did what he did in Tallahassee. Everyone knows he, you know, did some unsavory things, right? Most people would believe that he raped the girl. That's what most people believe, and I'm sure he did things he shouldn't have done. And the treatment that FSU fans and how just mean and nasty they were to her and to everyone around that situation, how they backed Jameis, okay, they're backing the devil. Okay, that's what they did, and they're certainly, you know what, they're getting theirs for that right now.
Well,
they're getting their payback right now from how they were.
You say that, but I go into intention. Look, every Florida would have done the same damn thing. They all would have done the same thing.
I get it.
So, don't give me this, you know, I don't like Florida State and hate to defend them, but, you know, it's like every big
program. They're getting theirs.
Maybe
okay.
They got theirs.
I'm just telling you, karma's a you-know-what. They're getting
y'all
theirs.
Y'all jump around, and we're going to go back and come
we got
back.
A break here in a moment, Chuck.
But, okay, we can answer this real quick then. The Saints, why don't you start Jameis Winston tomorrow instead of, why don't you start Taysom Hill? Come on.
Hasn't been announced yet, but
yeah.
But I think no. Okay, he probably will be.
Yeah, I thought
yesterday it was rumored that he was announced as starter. Last night, Sean Payton came out and said, "I haven't announced it to anybody yet."
Well,
the players don't even know. But who cares? They're both going to play. Look, who cares? It doesn't matter. And Taysom Hill's a guy they paid a lot of money.
No, you think they're
going to
rotate them both in and out, like a la Doug Johnson? And you know,
I have no idea. You know what? It'll be interesting. We'll see. And I don't really give a damn. I'll look forward to watching it. I'll watch it just to see. I don't care. Look, if they don't have Drew Brees, they got no shot. I've said Drew Brees is kind of done a little bit from an arm strength standpoint. He's kind of he has a pop gun arm, but he's still so smart. But, yeah, without him as the guy calling signals in the playoffs, they can't win.
All right,
so
the NFC standing. That looks pretty good. Look at that.
I'm sure you like that. All right.
You fired up for Dallas in the football team on Thanksgiving?
Sure. Sure. I'm fired up
this
always,
is not,
Chuck.
This is not 1974. It's
okay.
Not Clint Longley.
All right. Okay.
Was it back then? Was it Billy Kilmer, I guess?
Yeah, probably Billy Kilmer in 74. All right. And we're going to break. And we'll talk to Brent Beard when we come back. And we bring the college.
Yeah,
we
got
to
get
the
buyouts.
But we're talking buyouts. And, man, it'd be great to be Will Muschamp. He's been given $21 million over the last 6 years between Florida
For being a failure.
That's next from Dick Swings and the Northside on 1010 XL.
This is Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back to Compton Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings of the North Side. Chuck Elliott, R.D. Sonnen, producing the show. You're truly Ron Compton. We'll have Brent Beard going to join us here momentarily as we bring you the College Weekly Notebook. A little early action, college football, Florida. My message to the Florida Gators, hey Dan, can you tell your boys to wake up, please? They tell Vandy, 10-7 midway through the second quarter. And how about Indiana just tied things up with Ohio State at 7? Well, that's an early scores for you around the world of collegiate football. You know, Baker Mayfield may not be a very good quarterback, and he's just been average at best. He started strong and hasn't been very good since, been kind of up and down. But he's like the Peyton Manning of commercials.
He's on every commercial.
Yeah, he's in the, you remember the old Nextel commercials, and now obviously the Manning and Brad Paisley commercials. But man, he's on every commercial there is. So he's pretty good at it. He's actually pretty good at commercials. He's a better guy, a better pitch man than he is at pitching footballs around. I'll give him that.
What are they now?
6-3 Oh, they're 6-3 No, the team in general is playing well. It's a very strong running game, and the defense has played pretty well. But Baker Mayfield has absolutely been up and down all season long.
Yeah, you see him and his wife in those commercials all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Gee whiz.
Oh, all the time. Hey, the Gators just forced a 3-and-out. Imagine that. And speaking of the Gators and college football, without further ado, we'll bring in Brent Beard as we bounce around the world of college football. We bring you the College Weekly Notebook. Brent, how are you doing, my man?
Hey, guys. I'm doing okay. It's a interesting day so far that very little that we thought would happen has happened. Obviously, Florida's Nashville, and they've sleptwalked through the first half. But the Sears kid is a promising quarterback for Vanderbilt. There's no way that they should be dominating the way they are at times today. But look, you go on the road, you're half awake. You've had people tell you all week long how bad Vanderbilt is. They'll be fine. They'll get it together. But with 8 minutes to go down three, that's not where you want to be.
Well, something just happened that hasn't happened but 6 times all year. Now 7 times all year. Kyle Trask was sacked. I mean, Kyle Trask, think about how good the offensive line has been. And going into this game, Kyle Trask had been sacked 6 times all year. So once a game. Pretty good. And they've been scoring 30-plus points a game in every game this year, all SEC teams. In the last 2 weeks, they've just absolutely just beat up the two, at least on paper, the two best defenses in the SEC in both Georgia and Arkansas. Now today, just they can't get out of their own way. As Brent, as you said, they've slip-walked through the first quarter and a half in the game in Nashville at 11 o'clock start, which is, we joked, Brent, when we came on the year, from, look, 1996, 28-21, Florida over Vanderbilt. 2 years ago, it was 24-3 Vandy until Florida put things together and came back and beat Vanderbilt. For some reason, that early start in Nashville, that 11 a.m. local time start, has always given Florida fifth.
Which I don't understand, Brent, because we always talk about, well, it's this week, and they're sleepwalking, and everybody's telling how good they are, came off a big win against Georgia. This is not like, Major League Baseball, where it's the third game of a four-game set. I mean, this is a limited number of games you play, and you should be ready to go every week.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think you should, too. But unfortunately, the disappointing thing here is, the offense will eventually come around, but and they're decent on offense. The problem, I think, goes along with the defense. By the way, I'm looking at something here from Brent McMurphy that says East Carolina at Temple is delayed because a Temple player girlfriend who apparently just tested positive. So the player was taken back to campus to receive an antigen test, source told Stadium. If you test positive, there's a chance the game will not be played. Look, listen, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm sick and tired of this. Isolate the guy and get this done before that you get out here and you start playing. And look, I've seen on Twitter, like you have on this Clemson FSU game, is and some of that may have changed, but the reality is it did. It does FSU just not want to play this game? Because I'm also seeing where Clemson met, they met all the protocols. So, and I don't mind telling you, I've also talked with guys that said that LSU-Alabama didn't happen because LSU just didn't want to play.
You know what? That didn't surprise me at all, because this is what you've got. You've got a couple of historically good programs, meaning LSU and FSU. They're down the dumps. I mean, look, you just look at today with LSU. We were talking during a break, as far as from a point spread standpoint, year over year, the greatest difference in college football history. Last year, LSU's favored by 42 over Arkansas. This year, Arkansas favored by 3, so 45-point swing year over year. They realize LSU knows against Alabama they lose by 100. And then same thing with FSU. They know that Clemson, who would ever thought that FSU would be favored by underdog by 35 points to anybody ever. But that's it, and they don't want to play. They just don't want to play.
Well, Brent, I get that, and I buy that. Well, I say I buy that, but the thing is, they know they're going to lose, and they're bleeding money, so you think they want the gate money.
Well, and you bring up a really good point. This is why LSU-Alabama is going to play, is because TV is demanding it.
Yeah.
And look, because if you don't play, you're giving some of this money back, and no one wants to be able to have to deal with that. And that is it. Look, my other thing is, and since we're ranting here a little bit today, that a lot of this, guys, a lot of this is the truth is these kids are unfortunately these kids are babies. And they simply don't when the tough gets going, they just want to quit. So I mean, these kids, and I'm just being frank with you, I just don't have a lot of patience with these kids opting out. If you're starting and you started your season, I mean, you wanted to have that uniform and play until the season is over, which is something your father and grandfather would have done.
Right, and yeah, but I think the decision may be coming from more above. And now, Brent, aren't they going to play the Clemson FSU game possibly December 12th? Right, and Clemson wanted an off week, I'm sure, before the ACC championship game. Now they got to play a week before, which I'm sure they're not happy about.
No, I'm sure they're not. But look, listen, guys, that's terrible to get a team in the city, virtually in the stadium, and then you're not going to play. I mean, look, that's ridiculous. Make these decisions before these teams get there. Guys, imagine media and broadcasters and families and so forth and so on who drove over there today at that game, and what, guys, 4 hours, 3 hours before kickoff, no, we're just not going to play today.
That's crazy. I mean, it is. But yes, it's crazy to me.
But the fallback is it's hard to criticize them because they can always fall back on.
Oh, they'll chalk it up
to
COVID.
Up.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, well, and like Brent said, I mean, come on. At some point, I was like, come on, enough's enough. I mean, really. I don't want to seem like an insensitive person at all. But look, you decided to play. I mean, look, a lot of these younger guys are the. I mean, look, this stuff doesn't affect them. I mean, like, you're already out there. Go play. Just go play, and then, as they say, figure it out afterwards.
Well, let me get one comment, Brent. I know we're talking, but you've watched the Coastal Carolina game. That field, that reminds me of watching a game from Florida Field circa 1987. just the way the field looks. I mean,
Well, listen, some of these teams have. The smaller teams, the Liberties, and teams like that have really stepped up this year and played very well. So, and look, again, I don't want to belabor the point here because I get tired of talking about it, but listen, before they get into the playoffs, into the championship games, if they need to revise this protocol, because the thing that's happening now is, which also is ludicrous, is the person that is sick has a certain amount of time that they're out, but in this contract tracing, the people that aren't even sick are having to sit out longer than the other one. And again, the brain trust in the Big Ten, I use that lightly, with these presidents and with their commissioner, really has stuck it to them as far as getting through a season. So, I mean, the good thing is, by this time next year, hopefully we'll either not have a virus or we will be a lot smarter in the protocol, so we're not dealing with garbage like this FSU stuff today.
When I get upset about all this stuff, I try to remind myself, look, leading up to September, we didn't even know if we'd have any college or pro football.
No doubt.
And we have some of it, and there's issues going back and forth, again, in terms of games being canceled, postponed, things of that nature. Miami's missed the next couple of weeks. They've had games postponed as well. Manny Diaz, the latest coach, is now tested positive for COVID. Next year at this time, either it will completely be under control, or the vaccinations.
Or it won't be.
The vaccines. The vaccines have been. Look, this past week has been announced. It looked 94-95% effective, and the doses will be ready to distribute. It's going to be just like getting a flu. Just like a flu shot. It's coming up. Just like a flu shot. That's what we're going to have. I've got to think next year this time it'll be a moot point. It'll be business as usual when it comes to playing pro college ball. Yes.
No, I've heard of it. You're going to look at 2023 probably before we get back to some kind of...
I doubt that.
Well, but I think we'll have...
We won't have Chuck. We won't have to worry about games being canceled or postponed. That will not happen next year.
There may not be full crowd.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well, maybe half, 50% capacity.
The protocol, guys, will be such to where we've got a better handle on it.
Well, and also, did you know that was it Australia? They had a soccer game this past week. A packed house, 50,000 fans, no mask. So if countries like that can do it in that short a period of time, once we get things with a vaccine and people feel more comfortable with their everyday life, we'll get back to absolute normalcy.
Right.
It's coming. I predict by the summer, we'll be back like it never happened.
Well, it's going to be around in some form or fashion. But we will be smarter and we will be able to deal with it a little bit better. Unfortunately, the Gator defense has a pass interference call.
That's
coming on them.
They're not figuring things out very well. 10-10 in his barn burner.
And Brad, Brad, I know Ron will slap me, but
I'm close and I can.
I'm just so intrigued. Can you spend a minute on how's the NCAA tournament going to do it all in one city? How's that going to go?
The NBA did it.
That's a really good point.
Four games at one time.
They just figure it out.
I think that's intriguing.
There'll be multiple courts.
It's intriguing. And if that's all the way that we have the NCAA. Listen, guys, I thought that, frankly, last March, they should have went ahead and played the tournament at that point. They could have done that. With those guys, and we could have gotten through that and been fine about it. But if people haven't heard this, the NCAA taught this week. That was a nice sack by the Gators. But if people hadn't heard that they're going to try to play the NCAA tournament, basically either in one venue or at least one place with venues very close to where there's not a lot of travel. So they're taking a look at that. So, guys, frankly, why not? That's something that very well could work, and they've got plenty of time to figure it out.
All right, Brent, we're going to step aside for a break. We'll come back. One more segment with Brent Beard, the College Week and Notebook. We'll talk about some vacancies it could be on year's end, and then some potential coaching candidates, and then Brent, these buyouts. Oh, these buyouts. Chuck loves talking to buyouts. The Bulls must chant the luckiest man alive. That and more if we broadcast to you from Dick's Wings on the north side on 1010 XL.
This is Compton and Company on 1010 XL.
And welcome back to Compton and Company, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side. Chuck Elliott, RJ Saunders producing the show. You're truly Ron Compton, being joined by Brent Beard right now. We're reading the College Weekly Notebook. As we go to our break, it was 10 and 10. Came out of our break for a drive down the field. And they may, I think Trevon Grimes caught the ball in the end zone to get the Gators to lead. But a bunch of replays, Chuck, from where we're sitting, I can't tell if they're going to review this one or not. But anyway, but Florida is either up 16-10 or they're driving with a chance to go up 16-10. Can't really tell if the ball moved as Trevon Grimes rolled over or not. Brent, you probably got a good look at it. Did the ball move or not? Tell us, Brent.
Look, I thought that was a catch. Frankly, and it was a sensational catch. Hopefully that will count. But look, the main thing is, they on a day like today, they need to quit worrying about running the ball. The thing they do best is get in rhythm with their passing game.
They pitch and they catch, Brent. They pitch and they catch is what they do. They do it really well.
Yes. And listen, that's what cost them the A&M game. If they hadn't been worried about running a little bit in that A&M game, they could have driven the ball down the field, got a field goal or touchdown, and won that game. I'll still say today that's what cost them that one, and they let that one go. Well, I tell you one thing, Trevon Grimes has elevated his game.
He's going to cash some checks, Brent. He's going to cash a lot of checks next level.
I mean, he really did. That was your 50-50 ball in between two receivers. He deserves credit for that one. I hope he gets it.
That looked like a poor man's version of DeAndre Hopkins, the way he high-pointed that ball. He high-pointed it very well. But, yeah, look, and here's the call.
It's a touchdown.
There we go. That's Dan.
See, when they're real quick, I think we got this from Chuck a few years ago. When they're real quick on their when they're reviewing the call and they review it very quickly, that's your cue that whatever's on the field is going to stand.
Yep. I know Brent, this is nitpicking, but talk about that. And when the call stands, sometimes I still get amazed when something's obvious, and they come back and go, well, the call on the field stands instead of confirmed, because stands means we couldn't tell for sure. A lot of you are like, that was easy to call. Why'd you say confirmed?
But you know, as far as to your point, Brent, as it pertains to Florida and this offense, look, what Dan Mullen has done such a great job of in his passing game is he's absolutely he takes what they give him, right? And where last week, Arkansas pretty much played this umbrella defense with his zone coverage and he just picked him apart, boom, 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 just marched down the field, methodical drives, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. You know, when they play more of a man defense, you know what? They'll throw the ball over the top. When they play a team like Georgia, when they try to take out, you know, Tony and Pitts and those guys, okay, well, you know, we'll get the backs involved in the passing game. That's what they've done on a regular basis. So, yeah, they can pass the ball, you know, with success anytime they want. So, look, to me, you were getting those backs involved. Okay, keep them honest here or there. Maybe you know, a little draw play, maybe a little jet sweep. But let's throw the football. And then you know what? You were to get running backs involved. Run more wheel routes.
And that's what they did against Georgia. They did so good. By the way, since we're all in the media, we can say this real quick. Mixed emotions that both Pat Dooley and Robbie Andrew, December 1 is their last day with the Gainesville Sun. Pat does radio and podcasts, so he'll be fine. I don't know if Robbie's just going to retire or not. Those guys are in their mid to late 60s, is what I was told this week. So that change is coming. Boy, that will be an end of an era, to say the least, in Gator football, with what those guys did, and they both did a really good job.
They really did.
Yeah, Brad, I think Dooley went. He, you know, used to be at the Times Union, went to the Gainesville Sun in 1987, and apparently that was their own. That was Dooley's own decision. He gets, I believe, seven months of pay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not bad. You'd rather have 3 years of pay, but
right.
But at the same time, look, what they probably did, and we won't bore listeners with this, but in the day and age of newspapers being bought, and I think somebody's bought the Gainesville Sun, by the way, instead of getting laid off, you go ahead and make a decision with that.
That's right.
So, and listen, so this won't be an entire Florida Gator situation here. Watching Derek Mason walking up and down the sidelines, I don't know if he's going to keep his job, but you see halves like this with Mason and Vanderbilt, and it really makes you wonder. I mean, I get it because of the roster, but it really makes you wonder, guys, why this bunch could not be more competitive than they are every year.
No, you know what? You're right. And here's the thing: is I guess that's another coaching position that may be vacant after the end of the year. Chuck thought it was going to happen a year ago. But I wouldn't fire him. Who are you going to get, Chuck? Okay, I know. No, you're not getting Jeff Fisher. Okay, who in the world is going to go coach Vandy that's any better than what you have? That's what you have to ask yourself. That's the question you have to ask yourself. Okay, sure. If you're Florida, if you're Florida State, if you're Alabama, if you're Georgia, if you're USC, you're Texas, you're Mississippi State for that matter, you're Ole Miss. All right, you go fire a guy. Get rid of a guy, but you know, those universities, you've got the money, okay? You've got the facilities. You can go attract a nice coach to come in. Who are you going to get if you're Vandy?
This is totally making a joke here, but you know what? Penn State, I think they'll ship James Franklin back to Vanderbilt right now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Listen, there's been some talk about Franklin going to South Carolina. Do not believe that for a minute. That is agent-driven is all that is. I can tell you right now, he's done a I remember last year when they nearly beat Ohio State, Franklin on the post-game press conference was saying that he thought that they were an elite team. Well, James, I can tell you, brother, you're not. That is not an elite program. And you know, the truth of the matter is with Franklin, he did a better job at Vandy than he did at Penn State, frankly.
Well, Brent, here's the problem with him. He's in trouble, man. He's got more off the field stuff. All the players and the rape stuff at Vandy, okay, that come out. Obviously, now Penn State, and it's been had a former player come out and say, hey, look, he said, don't report fights, don't talk to the cops. So he's got some off the field problems that might get him, and. So, yeah, and I'm with you. He did a better on-the-field job at Vandy than he did at Penn State. That's correct.
Well, listen, do not think for a minute that – and, by the way, it's great to play terrible and be up by seven.
Yeah.
That tells you about this team this year. But Ed O at LSU guys could be in some real trouble. I mean, you're talking about Title IX situation there. Look, that thing's Baylor-like is the problem. Football players, you punish two of them, seven of them, you ignore like Darius Geis. Guys, you could see several heads roll at LSU in the next few months.
Well, here's what I would say.
Now, what's
LSU?
His buyout? We were talking buyout. Well, what's his buyout?
I don't know what the buyout is. They gave that huge contract before the year started, but they might be able to get out of that. Some of that buyout money with all the stuff that's been allowed to happen off the field, like Brent just mentioned, the Darius Geis stuff, the other players that there's alleged sexual assaults and rapes and things like that that went unreported in the athletic administration. those are some things that have happened that that you might be able to get, you know, if you just do decide to part ways with Coach O, not have to pay the, you know, the entire buyout. I'm not sure, but he is in trouble. But look, Brent, and we've talked about this too. He's not a good football coach. He's not any good. They gave him that huge extension before the season. Look, I might have been insulting Gene Chizik when I compared Gene Chizik and Ed Orgeron as the same guy.
Oh, he's better than Gene
Chizik. No, he's not.
He's not much, but he's better.
What has he done that makes you believe that? What's Ed Orgeron ever done?
He had a halfway decent, half more of a half season. What was Chizik at Iowa State, like 4-28
or something? Okay, so wait a minute. So you're telling me that because he had a half season of success at USC with a loaded roster with 8,000 5-stars, that makes him a better coach than Gene Chizik. That makes no sense to me.
Chizik was Scott.
Okay, there's a reason he got fired at Ole Miss. There's a reason for all that. Ed Orgeron is no good. He's a joke. He's a joke of a coach. He's a defensive line coach as well. He's a defensive line coach and recruiting coordinator. That's
well,
what he is.
Look, guys, the thing that both the thing that both O and Gene Chizik did was they got lightning in a bottle, meaning that that Chizik got Cam Newton.
Yep.
Who no one could deal with for that 1 year. And frankly, their defensive line did about as much as Newton, but they never got enough credit for it. And O got everything that came around. You mean Vandy doesn't have a dressing room and they're sitting there outside?
I'm seeing that.
What the?
But anyway, sorry about that.
Wow.
That's a good point, though.
So for those of you listening, while Brent's alluding to, is they just showed a shot on ABC where Dan Mullen is addressing his team at halftime in the stadium. They're like in the corner of an end zone somewhere.
Like in high school.
And he's talking to his team right there.
Vandy must have a broom closet as far as the Vistra locker room is concerned. But look, O had everything come together in that year. I'll say this. I mean, O still has time to prove if he's a coach or not. But look, guys, I'm with you. If you ask me if O is an elite head coach, my answer is going to be no, because only time will tell with that. But I can tell you this: how you tell what kind of coach you are is usually the year after you have a lot of success. And they have been a miserable failure this year in that regard.
Well, I feel this is important to ask. And, Brent, I think I asked this back in 2011. We were doing a show from the Mill House. And, you know, we could talk about Chizik and O. So you're telling me that these people that make big-time money decisions aren't smart enough to see this? I mean, why do they feel they've got to react
away
to a big-time contract?
Chuck, that should be a question you're asking out of rhetoric.
I know that, but...
Okay, so yes, they're not
who's
they're
coming
not that
after
smart.
Brent, who's coming after Ed Orgeron?
Okay, let me tell you what happens.
Who's coming after Ed Orgeron?
Chuck, decisions are made in large part on emotion.
But I get fans being emotional.
We're talking about people that control millions and millions
of dollars. Yep. You're saying they're just as stupid as us.
I can look at a bunch of idiots on the far left that have millions and billions of dollars that are complete buffoons, but they get a lot of money. Okay. I mean, does that make them smart? Because you have a lot of money, does that make you smart?
No, well, but you would think people that are
the answer is
no.
Right. The answer is no. But you have a lot of money. And sometimes you have a lot of money. Just throw it around. You just throw money around.
An example of that is basically a couple of years ago, after Auburn had two miracles against Alabama and Georgia. They went crazy with Malzahn and gave him this ridiculous contract, which he still has $21 million buyout to go along with it too. And they made a humongous mistake with that, because Malzahn is they lose four games a year, and they're going to lose four games again this year. But Malzahn's a mediocre football coach. But to Chuck's point, you had a school president that went, who is no longer there, LSU had of Arkansas 17-14, but they had a school president who's no longer there that got overly excited, and they emptied the bank for Gus because he beat Georgia and Alabama without thinking what a mistake that would be years down the line.
That's right.
All right, Brent. We got a break. Brent, I say this to Ron all the time. I say, why give a big contract? What if somebody else comes in? Look, other than Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, if someone comes after the coach, who cares? I don't care.
You're right. There's probably five or six coaches.
Right.
Right now, you could say Dabo, you could say Saban, you could say Dan Mullen, you could say
Dan Mullen right now.
You could say Kirby Smart. There's certain guys that you know what?
What's he
that
one? Not
well,
a fan
well,
thing.
Okay, Chuck, but still. He's still a guy. What I'm telling
he's a
you,
guy.
There's
you just
a,
said
there's
it.
A few guys.
A guy.
There's a few guys that you'd want to keep.
If
as
I'm
Jordan,
Kirby Smart wants to leave, take off. I don't care. Who cares?
Brent, we're gonna end it with that. Brent, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.
That's Brent Bearden, College Week of Notebook. Back to close it out after this from Dick's Wings on the North Side on 1010XL.
Is Compton and Company on 1010XL.
I want to thank Brent Beer for joining us and bringing you the College Weekly Notebook. Brent Beer, got Chuck Kelly here, RJ Saunders producing the show. Yours truly, Ron Compton, coming to you from Dick's Wings on the north side at the intersection of Yellow Bluff and New Berlin Road. Remember, each and every Saturday, come in here, your $12 buckets of Bud and Bud Light, also a bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys. Happy hour Sunday through Friday, starting at 7 o'clock, from 11 to 7 o'clock, you name it, all sorts of drink specials, bucket specials, shot specials, well drinks. Monday nights, it's 75-cent wing night, 75 cents for traditional wings. Telling you, we're here on Saturdays, live music on Friday nights, all cool things happening right here. Flip coin on Wednesday nights. What does flip coin mean? And it's right here, and it originated in the Lakewood location at San Jose and University Boulevard. You come in this location, that location, from 7 until 9 o'clock, sit in the bar area. And I was here two Wednesdays ago, and you pick heads or tails. If you're right, your drink's free. Not just the first drink or the second drink, but for two solid hours, you sit in the bar area, and if you're right, the drink is absolutely free.
All right, so what do you think the split is tomorrow, Jet? 70-30, 70% Steelers fans tomorrow? 90-10. I was being generous.
90-10.
Steelers?
Yep.
Really?
Well,
wow.
If you're a Jaguars,
I thought you were going to call me crazy.
No.
70-30.
If you're a Jaguars fan, why the hell would you want to go?
Okay.
Let me ask you another question. If you're a Jaguars fan, and I think this might be, even the diehard Jaguar fans that want to win, this might be the first year when I talk to the majority of them. Remember Gene?
Yeah.
Okay. Big Jaguars fan. Season ticket holder since 1995, year one. My buddy Brad, I talked about early on. Season ticket holder since 1995. Just diehard Jaguars fan. Who always wanted them to win no matter what. Both of those guys I've talked to within the last 2 weeks, they want the Jaguars to lose out. So this might be the first time that all Jaguars fans, 99%, maybe 90% of Jaguars fans, they're looking for the long-term gain and giving up the short-term pain. Think about short-term pain for long-term gain. They're all willing to do that. So if you've got those Jaguar fans that are all in for them to lose them all, so you can get Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, have that, hopefully Trevor Lawrence, but a good consolation prize is Justin Fields. If you're all in with that, then those guys, I think, would sell their tickets. It's close to Christmas. We're four weeks away from Christmas. If you're a Jaguars fan, the Steelers are 9-0. Steelers fans, when they're
starting to get
okay, listen, Chuck.
Start to make
when there's
70,000 fans allowed in the stands, and the Steelers are here. There's usually 45,000 Steeler fans. Okay, why? Because Jaguar season ticket holders, they sell them for 10 times the money. These Steeler fans will pay $500 for nosebleed tickets.
Well, it's funny you say that because I had to go. I went to the doctor the other day, and I was talking to the doctor in there, and she said, "Well, we're Jaguars. I have a Jaguar mask was given to me. Like she's like, well,
I know you wouldn't buy one.
That's correct. So, because I'm a Dolphins fan. By the way, the Dolphins. We'll talk about them later. But
she said they heard her husband were season ticket holders, and they sold her two tickets and made $600 profit to sold
well,
to a Steelers fan.
Exactly.
I'm like, I take that
Chubby,
on.
Chubby, that's where I'm going with
I
that.
I know. I'm just
so,
backing up your
so
story.
That's my point. Yeah, that's my point. So
these Steelers fans are nuts.
Okay, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, maybe some of the Jaguar fans would do that. Now even the diehard Jaguar fans are willing to sell their tickets to Steelers fans for 4 or 5 times the money. That's what's going on, Chuck. So, yes, 85% to 90% of the stadium tomorrow, there'll be Pittsburgh Steeler fans.
And I got a kick out of Mike.
You're only 22,000.
I got a kick out of Mike Vince Dooley-Tomlin talking up the Jags.
Yeah.
Like they, remember Vince Dooley back then? Talked up Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Like, I don't know. We may not be able to beat this team today. They're pretty good. Other than their 0-7 start, Vanderbilt's a damn good team this year.
Yeah,
Vince Dooley used to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but, and we talk about we're pretty convinced that quarterbacks will go 1 and 2 overall in the draft.
Yes.
Right?
3, 1, 2, 3.
Man, I don't know about 3. Trey Lance isn't going 3 overall. I don't think so.
Kyle Trask, I'm telling you.
He
couldn't play in high school, but he's darn good.
So think about this. It's funny how it works as quarterback position. So, let's just revisit the last 5 years of draft class in the NFL. Okay. 2015. Do you remember who went 1 and 2 overall?
That had to be Mariota.
Yeah. And Mariota will probably never start on the game in the NFL.
He's the Raiders now back up.
Back it up. I think it's the Raiders. And Jameis Winston maybe backing up the,
Taysom Hill.
Switch utility knife and Taysom Hill tomorrow. Which is crazy when Jameis threw 5,000 yards and 30 touchdown passes last year, but he's not good enough to start in New Orleans tomorrow for the Saints.
Hey, I got Taysom Hill.
Okay. So think about that. So in 2015 and 2016, those are the last 2 years that quarterbacks went 1 and 2 in both drafts.
Definitely going 1 and 2 this year, or next year, however you want to call it.
And the next, do you remember who went 1 and 2 next, the following season?
2016?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about it. Give
Jared Goff and Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah.
So think about this
You're
for
right.
a moment. Okay,
You're
so
right.
In 2015, after 1 or 2 years, everybody thought that, man, we got our guys. Wentz and Mariota, they're the future, right? But after the rookie seasons, people went, man, they're both really, really good. Now, neither of which are starting. You look at 2016, the two guys that both got huge contract extensions. Carson Wentz, he sucks, man.
Yeah.
He might find it. He might get it back, but right now he's no good. Jared Goff is average. And both those guys got huge extensions. They're both average. So sometimes sometimes even after they play a season or two, when you think you got the guys, you really don't. Think about that. Those four guys, after the first and second years, you couldn't extend them yet, but people thought that Winston and Mariota were the guys, right?
Right.
And they've proven they really aren't.
Well, what would you think? What year was it? Remember when Wentz got hurt? What were the Eagles that year when he got hurt? Like 11-2, maybe? Remember? Wentz was on the MVP.
That's correct.
And Goff won the Super Bowl.
I know
what
that.
What happened?
I know that. That's my point. It's weird. When you think you have it figured out, maybe you really don't. Because, to my point, 15, Mariota, or Wentz to Mariota, and neither of which are starting right now. Then you look in 16 when you go Goff and you have, Wentz. They both those guys have got huge extensions. Huge. Wentz 2 years ago, Goff this last offseason, guaranteed, $60, $70 million both, 4 or 5 year deals over $125, $130 million. and we're not sure if either one of those guys are any good. Okay, then you go to 2017, as I hear the music. How about this? To 2017, you go with, 2017 with Trubisky, Mahomes, and Watson. You know Trubisky's no good. Mahomes and Watson are the real deal.
Right.
Then you go to 2018, okay, and you go with Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, neither of them any good. Josh Allen, who they were worried about, is really good. Josh Rosen, no good. Lamar Jackson, we know where he is.
Regressing, though.
Regressed a little bit.
A lot bit.
And then 19, you go with Murray and Dwayne Haskins. And we know Murray's a superstar. We're convinced Haskins is no good, although he hasn't really given it a fair shake. It's weird how it goes. And this year, all three of the top quarterbacks are playing lights out so far. Obviously, with Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert. And we don't know about Jordan Love because he hasn't played. All right, so I hear the music. I guess right here, Chuck. So tomorrow, Steelers win by, what do you give me? I say Steelers 38, Jaguars 13 tomorrow.
Steelers win by 3. The Jags are going to hang in there. Like
I don't think so. All right.
All right, well, okay.
For RJ Saunders, for the fine folks here at Dick's Wing, for Brent Beer, for Chuck Elliott. Until next Saturday afternoon, I'm Ron Compton. See ya.